Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
I thought there were a lot of cuts between locations in the last ones.
Jesus. This one's all over the place.
Enterprise, Columbia, Enterprise, Columbia, Klingon planet, Enterprise, Columbia.
I feel like just season four doesn't stay in one place too much. Like, it's all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
In a good way. I'm not complaining about it. It's just a lot more fast-paced. Kind of feels like 24. Fucking moving.
Well, remember, this is the era where things had to be moving. Things had to be happening.
That's right. You had to keep going. You didn't have time to slow down. But it's done well. It's, yeah. You know, I'm definitely not complaining.
Because if you are, you'd sound like a dick.
I mean, what else is new?
All right. Happy Black Friday, everyone. This is this episode drops to you on Black Friday. So, you know, from reports on the news, it seems that people are going to be up for the traditional Black Friday stuff. So if you're up early in the morning and you're kicking it in line, you know, hopefully we're there to comfort you during that time. Or more likely, if you're one of our listeners, you're being dragged to this that you don't want to be there and you have your earbuds on because you don't want to hear the people around you. So if that's the case, you're welcome.
You know, I tried that. I had some errands to run today, and I usually don't wear both earbuds because I'm a naturally paranoid person, so I don't want people to sneak up on me. But then I remembered that I have these expensive fucking Beat Fit Pro or whatever, and they have a transparency mode. So I was like, well, let's try that out. So I put both earbuds in. That changed my fucking life. It's like I had a soundtrack. It was like I was a movie star, bro.
Did you start moving to the music? Because that's what really gets you.
For real. Well, the problem is, too, is I'll speak out loud when I'm listening to podcasts. So, like, I already know if I start doing this, I'll be in public. Like, I know he didn't fucking say that shit, bro. Golly. And people will be looking at me like, what the fuck? But, yeah, and then I got a phone call, started talking. And at first I was like, oh, I'm just talking out loud. And I'm like, who fucking cares? And I started talking. Dude. I'm now that dude. Yeah, I'm that dude in like the early 2000s with a big ass Plantronics fucking headset on his head in the store. I don't give a fuck. I'm getting too old to care.
The ones that bug me are the people that put them on speakerphone in the store.
Oh my God, I saw one of those today. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about your damn cousin's issues.
Yeah, it's like.
Like, stop, dude. Or you have some people, I've seen teenagers, and this is rare. But, like, we'll be in a store. It's like a grocery store. And they have, like, music playing on their phone. And I'm like, if you broke, just say that. You can't afford headphones?
I know. I've seen people.
But then the last one I saw do that, he was a teenager. And it was him and his friend. And they were just bumping hardcore gangster rap. Two white kids, of course.
Of course.
And so one of the guys working there, probably not much older than them, looks at him and goes, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
They just sheepishly turned it off. I was like, what are you doing? You're at a fucking Target,
that's
bro.
Usually what I did when I was working retail and somebody would do that. I'd be like, guys, come on.
Because you know you're fucking – you're just trying to be a badass, yeah. Trying to do what you want to do. Oh, my God. Yep. I forgot to tell you last podcast. I got to say this real quick. I went to get an oil change today, and it has a little car wash. It's like a whole full service joint. And I'm standing out there, and I'm with my Kindle just reading my book. My car pulls up bumping, just gutter gangster rap. And before I looked, I could hear the trunk lid rattling. And I'm like, what the fuck? I looked up. These motherfuckers cruised up in a 93 blue Geo Metro. Three of these knuckleheaded teenagers got out. Again, they look upper middle class Caucasian kids. Bumping some of the Wu-Tang Clan would have been shy listening to this music. It was just like drugs, pussy this, pussy that. It was crazy. Like to listen to music is fine, but that loud in a pub, there were kids around, bro. Bumping the shit, cleaning their whack ass fucking Geo Metro. I'll be real, I was kind of impressed. I'm like, damn, that Geo Metro still moving? I was impressed. I used to drive Geo Metro for a little bit. They're all right. They get the job done. But so they're bumping this music. They're fucking being stupid. And when I see it off, because it's across the way, like across the parking lot from me, and I'm just watching these dudes. And the guy who's washing cars on the other side, like the car will come in and he'll wash it. Mm-hmm. He walks over there, and I don't really know exactly what he said, but he looked like he wasn't fucking having it. And then he walks away, and these three kids look at each other and then just turn the music off. I was like, he probably went over and was like, if you don't turn this shit bucket fucking radio. And the radio sounded like shit. It sounded like the stock Geo Metro radio was bumping, bro. Like he had the fucking the thing in the tape with the cord that comes out plugged into his phone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some real hood shit, bro. I was like, what the fuck? It's like, where'd you get that song from? LimeWire, my dude.
I was going to tell you the other day I was in my front yard. And I heard this music, and I'm like, where's this fucking music coming from? Kid, probably maybe late teens, early 20s.
At the bus stop.
No. He's walking down the street. He's playing his music through a Bluetooth speaker.
My God.
In his hand as he's walking down the street.
I guess it's the boombox of today.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, but really, dude? Like, come
you
on.
You just look foolish, because the boombox thing.
But he didn't, like, I know he saw me, and I'm standing there in my driveway looking at him, did not make eye contact with me.
Of course he did. He's a pussy about it. And that's what I was about to say. The whole boombox culture wasn't just about the music. It was the attitude, bro.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers, and it was always the biggest one they could find. So now you just flexing that you can carry this fucking radio all day. And then, like, if someone looked at you funny, he was like, what's up? Like, now people would get stupid with it.
Now, keep
bro.
In mind, for those of you that are younger than, like, 20, when you had those boom boxes, like, you just had, not only did you have to carry the weight of that boom box, but you had to carry the weight of those 12D batteries that had to go inside that thing.
Heavier than the damn radio.
Yeah.
See, me, I was the one who had the little radio. Okay, it was a radio. You couldn't even put tapes in it. At first, we'd bring it out, and most kids had a radio. Someone had a radio, but most kids didn't bump it like an idiot. You know what I mean? You'd be hanging out at the park or whatever, you put it on the table, just have a little background tune or something like that. You had some motherfuckers. It was mostly in the 80s too. The whole boombox thing.
Yeah.
Where they would just fucking hip hop just crank to 11, bro. Like, holy shit.
Well, because that's when you had dance battles back then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Instead of killing each other, they just danced it out.
Yeah.
It was a more civilized time, you know, unless you lived in New York, which then was today's Chicago.
Then it would have started as a dance battle, but ended in a murder. Yeah, that's
the person who lost starts shooting.
So this week's episode starts a two-parter, Affliction. So we jump right off into some random Klingon facility where a couple of dudes are standing there and they're dragging in this other guy who definitely doesn't want to be there and gets thrown into a seat and gets, like, injected with shit. Dude, it was funny because, like, the way he was reacting to me, it was kind of like, yeah, that's like someone going to a dentist's office.
He really did look like that.
But that scream, though, was like kind of like, yeah, it was kind of like, okay, that was a bit weak. I was like, you know, Hoshi, when she got tortured, that was like Oscar level. Like,
Hey, you're not fucking lying, dude. Like, I felt that scream. Oh, my God. Yeah. What are you doing to her?
Not to mention they had a Klingon Targ, which was kind of cool. I was like, oh, I haven't seen one of those in a while.
I always love when I see a Targ, bro.
It's funny, too, because it gets its own shot. Like, it comes up on TV and goes, ah!
That deserves it. It deserves it.
Deserves its own episode. Like the, it's like Pizza Dog for Star Trek. So, yeah, basically all we get in that scene is just that one dude saying that his death sentence was commuted. And then they inject him with something, and that's just kind of it. Like, we don't get anything else.
Yeah.
Like, going on
with it. Well, you see the ridges on his head start to fade.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they start to morph. It's morphing time. a true Star Trek fan.
Right.
Would go, wait a minute.
So.
Oh, wait a tick.
So, now we get. It's been a long road.
I don't skip this shit. Not in the fourth season.
No, I don't either. I've been listening to that. Yeah. So now we get into Act One, and the Enterprise is returning home for the launch of Columbia and Tripp's bitch departure. It was funny too, because Tripp's packing up his fucking quarters and stuff like that, and then you're coming home, and like Tripp sees. The Columbia sitting there in dry dock, and just like that look on his face was like, "Dad, that's a sexy bitch." You just kind of see that in his face. Then of course T'Pol comes in and then gives her like 2 cents of like, "Why you leaving?" And then fucking Tripp puts her in her place, man. Even though he was lying, but
yeah,
it's just like, you know, my whole world doesn't, you know, evolve around you.
I mean, that's the line you say when you lying.
Right.
Contrary to popular belief.
It would have been.
I don't care about these bitches.
Would have been funny if she walked up to him and be like, doesn't it though?
Doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Would have been funny if she walked up. It's funny because I seem to revolve around Travis's fucking world. Just say some random, like a homie's name and shit. Reed been checking me out. Don't worry about me. Jesus, for some reason I see her eating sunflower seeds and she's doing this. Think I give a fuck about you, bitch? Go to the ship. I'm the second hottest chick on this fucking ship.
I'm the second hottest chick in the fleet.
Oh.
Cause still Hoshi, you know. It was what I thought was funny too was like, so like Tripp's bagging up his whole room, where's his box of porn? Because you know he's got some. Like, you know.
Because they got that shit on the fucking pad now, bro. It's the future.
Yeah,
the future's now, baby.
Where were his, you know, his external terabytes of, his external hard drives, terabytes of it. So, now that we're back on, so we go back to San Francisco and Hoshi and Phlox have, go to Madam Chang's. This one was kind of cool because this episode had quite a few throwbacks to like.
Yeah, that was a callback to when they were talking about that way back. Like, I think season one. They always said they were going to go to Madam Chang's.
Yeah, and then earlier this season after they came home from the Zindi thing, you know, after Phlox had that issue at the bar. And then Hoshi was like, come on, we're going to go to Madam Chang's. You said you wanted to. And he was like, no, I'm just going to stay up here. So I thought that was kind of cool. So apparently it's kind of a little nuanced point because it was just kind of like, oh, how did your interview with them? And they wanted him to head up some kind of thing. And he's like, well, yeah. I don't think I want to, you know, leave my crewmates just yet. It's the end of the season, dude. You're going to be leaving.
Well, you better start tying something up.
Yeah. You better start planning ahead.
Enterprise about to be mothballed.
And then of course these thugs come out. And try to take her down. Now, Hoshi took down some of these thugs, man.
Yeah, like she wasn't playing.
And it was funny too because I'm looking at her like a communications officer, still better security officer than Tasha Yar. That fucking.
Well, she wasn't subjected to rape gang, bro.
That's true. That fucking roundhouse kick she came out.
It's
of nowhere.
Not the physical trauma that gets you; it's the emotional trauma. You know.
But it's funny.
Yeah, she hit him with a fucking roundhouse kick. I was like, what the fuck?
I was
Walker Texas Ranger ass.
Well, it's funny because I for a minute I was just thinking like. Fucking Archer. He taught her. He's like, you know, when you need to take somebody down, this is how you do it.
You roundhouse kick that bitch.
And then the way they shot Phlox, and Phlox was like, oh, like, did somebody just like
Phlox tried. Okay. But he was someone who definitely didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
He's like, yeah, what happened to that puffer fish thing that he's supposed to be able to do? Oh, yeah,
what's that? Wasn't in the budget, bro. They had too many Klingons in the fucking episode.
It's like we're spending too money on less Klingon makeup, so, you know, we got to kind of watch out.
They blew the budget on that leather jacket fucking Hoshi was wearing.
They blew the budget on the Targ. That's really what happened. It's like we would do
the electronics are expensive.
We would do the pufferfish, but we got the Targ, so you know you kind of had it. And it's in two scenes, so you know that just kind of right. That took out the budget right there. So I like, and then you know, like it doesn't really pan off. It just comes back a little later where you know security's there and Hoshi's sitting there. I love the way fucking Archer came through, like pushing people out of his way, like get the fuck out of my way. Oh, she's in trouble. I gotta go over there and talk to her.
For real. He's always like that with Hoshi, though. You ever notice he's a little, I think even that's a throwback point. And maybe I'm reading too far into it, but I feel like he feels more obligated to her because he kind of forced her on the ship.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Where he convinced her to leave, you know.
I think he kind of sees her as not a child, but someone who's younger, though, too.
Yeah, but you know they all seem to kind of do that. Yeah. Well, the cast themselves said she was the youngest of the cast.
Yeah, Hoshi's like, the baby.
Yeah, she was like 21, I think, when she did the show. But yeah, they all said too that she was kind of the youngest in there. But I like how they introduced that Starfleet security chief, and like her and Malcolm were like big dicks swinging in there. Like they were both trying to, you know, it's like. She's like, we're investigating every eventuality.
Well, you know what pissed me off is she got like upset at Reed for nothing. Like Reed was just bringing up a point. He was like, yeah. Well, I don't really think. And honestly, he's the one that was fucking there. He would have known. And this bitch gets all upset. It's like, get your fucking ass. You know what? And this is gonna sound kind of bad.
Well, because he said. When she said, when he goes, it stops right there. And he goes, transporter, somebody made you. And she's like, not everybody has access to that.
It honestly felt like, this is going to sound really bad, but it kind of felt like when a woman's doing a role that's usually a male dominated role, which is what's happening here, and she's overcompensating. And it happens. I don't give a fuck what anyone's saying. It happens all the time. I'm not saying woman can't be a security chief. Absolutely can. Tasha Yar can do it, so anybody can do it. But I'm just saying.
I love that backhanded compliment right there.
No, but like you've seen that. Like I've worked with some women who are like supervisors or whatever, and they're a little sterner with the men. Mm. You know what I mean? Like it's like
they have something to prove themselves.
Yeah, like you don't have it. It's okay. You can push buttons too. Like it's not a big deal. But then you do have some men that are like, "Fuck this bitch! I'm not going to listen to her." So I get it, you know. But anyway, that's a whole other podcast we can have.
Yeah, you can check that out on our Patreon, the female perspective by two dudes.
Yeah, that's right. Mansplaining. That's what it would be called.
Oh, my God. That would be such an excellent mansplaining.
We started this podcast because we feel like women just really couldn't articulate what they're trying to say.
That we feel we can better describe what the woman journey, what the woman's journey is right. In this male-dominated society.
Confused? Have you ever been confused by what a woman speaks? It's because they're dumb. We're here. Imagine, imagine if a podcast like that existed. I would think it's a gag immediately. And if it became something real, I'd go, what the fuck, bro?
Oh, shit. So then it cuts to Columbia where Trip is endearing himself to his new engineering crew. Dude, Trip is swinging dick to the fences the way he came in there, just kind of like, just like, well, this, you know, this needs to be done. And, you know, the metrics need to be this way. And, but it was funny because like I could see the crew standing in front of him. And in my mind, I'm saying like, they're thinking like, he's the type of guy that's going to remind us every fucking minute that he served on the Enterprise. Like every time he come up, be like, well, when I was on the Enterprise, you know, that shit's going to come up.
I'm going to be honest. If I served on the Enterprise, I'd do the same fucking thing. It's like someone would say, hey, I kind of want spaghetti for lunch today. Well, when I was on the Enterprise, I would have picked fucking chicken teriyaki. So fuck all that. Just some stupid petty shit.
And it, for those keen eyes, Seth MacFarlane of the Orville was a...
I mean, even if you didn't know who Seth MacFarlane was, you'd wonder, why does this random ensign have such a firm speaking role in this episode?
Which makes up for the non-speaking role that he had in the last episode. Remember, he was on the Enterprise before.
Yeah.
And which is funny because I'm like, wait, he's on the... It's like, is he the same guy or what happened? Like,
who knows? But I he's a huge fucking Star Trek nerd.
He was a huge Star Trek nerd. I think he said when he was a teenager, he did like a little Star Trek short. And hence why he came up with the Orville. But it's funny because if it was me, I would have had Trip every time he mentioned him. It'd be a different Family Guy character name. Like, it's like, hey, Stewie, I need you to do this. And of course, typical Trip, he fails to check in with the captain. You know,
because Trip he got work to do. He had time for that. But the captain's kind of... Captain Hernandez can get it. You understand me? This is the same woman that Archer helped Archer get out of his feelings when they were rock climbing.
Yeah, she did.
She got out the feeling to get in something else.
And then, like, you know, she's like, she's like, can this be salvaged? I was expecting to be like, nah. Now we should just junk it.
I thought that was kind of weird. Like, you're the captain of the second most important ship in the fleet. we're just gonna keep it honest.
You're the NX-02 for a reason.
And we find out that this thing is way past schedule. So at this point, Trip is big. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? That's basically what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then the chick's, is it salvageable? Is it broken, bitch? You haven't even left fucking dry dock yet.
It's like, no, we need to shit can it. We need to get rid of this thing. Let's get Elon
That's
Musk.
That's what I would have said.
Let's get Elon Musk to take over as captain of this ship, you know?
If I was Trip, I would have said, honestly, I'd rather fly a 1980s space shuttle than this piece of fucking shit. Okay.
You know,
Columbia, especially. You put it up.
It'd basically be like, is this salvageable? Nope. Back when I was on the Enterprise, I would have rather been in a shuttlecraft with Malcolm.
For real. It was funny, too, in the beginning of this episode, they were looking at Columbia in dry dock, him tripping T'Pol. And. T'Pol says, like, it looks the same. And Trip said, well, an engineer would notice, which is true. But then I guess I'm an engineer because when they did the flyby, I'm like, well, that's different. That's different. That's different. There's little, other than ugly ass pylons in the middle of the fucking thing, there's some little things on the outside that are
the
different.
Fucking, the little fucking emitter at the end of the.
But it's typical Star Trek, but they just fucking slapped extra shit on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
That's all they did. Like, there's one. Where there's these cross beams or bars or something. I'm like, why is that there? There's no reason.
They pulsate. Dude, they pulsate when the warp engines go online.
That is this. You know how annoying that would be? The whole fucking room, the ones in the bridge, the whole room would be lighting up like a fucking Christmas tree. But the entire time they're at warp.
It's funny because those beams itself, it reminded me of Airplane 2 when William Shatner was going around and it's like, what about this? Well, we can't find a purpose for this. The lights just go back and forth randomly. Well, get them to go. Or he goes, they go out of sync. He goes, well, get them to go in sync. You know, like it's kind of just how that shit worked back then. And then she, at the end where she's like, you know, we'll have, you know, have dinner or something with the captain. She goes, oh, and stop by the armory and get your uniform to look at.
Yeah,
he's like, get that shit off your, get that shit off your arm. So then we're back on Enterprise, and T'Pol and Archer discuss about Phlox and saying how, like, you know, they have no information, and then that the, what was it, the Noblian ambassador was notifying his wives. It always cracked me up when I heard the pluralization of that. I was like, oh yeah, damn bitches is what he's going
to. He's like, I have to make several phone calls.
I'm just going to do one Zoom call and just bring them all on board.
You know, damn right will say, when he's like, I have to make several phone calls, and some dude's like, all right, bro, they get the fuck out of here with that. This jealous, single-ass motherfucker.
And they mentioned that Hoshi heard them say something, but she couldn't quite remember. So then, of course, you know, Archer mentions a mind meld. And I was like,
I'll walk you through it.
Yeah, I was like, Archer's going to tutor T'Pol on a mind meld. I'm like, oh.
And even she was like, you? Like, what?
He's like, I'm just going to remind you that Serac was in my head for 4 days. Oh, okay. That's like saying, like, I've been watching Grey's Anatomy for the last 19 seasons. I can go into an operating room and tell you how to.
I'm going to remind you once again that me, a human, was better than all of you. Okay?
Right.
I want to make sure you remember that I'm simply the best.
But the thing was, is I was like, oh, this is our Mary Sue moment. And for the first time in Trek, the human is the Mary Sue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's like normally it's T'Pol or Phlox.
We've come full circle, Steve. It's the fourth season. We are now in the captain's chair. You understand me? Fuck these bitches.
Archer gets in her face and goes, I'm the Vulcan now.
That's right. I'm the Vulcan now. I would fucking die laughing.
So then we cut to Malcolm doing his investigation into the transporter signals and notices that the grid over San Francisco was offline, and he tries to call Starfleet, but he gets, and it never explains like how he intercepted the transmission. A friend of his or whoever, this mystery man. And I was like, I remember thinking like, nice. All the security measures were off at the same time. Convenient. Like suddenly I'm thinking like, you know, Wolf 359 was an inside job. You know, that guy again, you know. Changelings aren't real.
Bro, that was one of the funniest fucking scenes of all of Star Trek when he was doing that. Because that's literally Reddit.
Yeah.
That dude is Reddit on a Star Trek forum. Like, no, what you guys don't notice. You're not seeing what's happening here. It's like, okay, bro.
All right, dude. You need to relax a little bit.
No, I got time to relax.
So then we jump to T'Pol and Hoshi doing mind meld. And Archer's over there cucks in the corner, you know? Like,
yeah.
I was like, he did that in two episodes straight where he's off in the corner kind of cucksing over there.
I'm just watching, bro.
Yeah. And it's funny because in my mind, I'm thinking like, Captain, I don't understand why we have to do this naked. And you mean like, shh, T'Pol.
It'd be funny.
I'm the expert at this.
Like off to the side and just barely, like barely in the background. They don't even focus on, you just see him nodding his head. Yes. I mean, like, wait a minute.
Him, you know, with his hand stroking his chin, like, yeah, yeah, just like that. Or, no. He's doing that meme of that black guy rubbing his hands together, taking it out from behind the tree, you know?
Oh, that would be so great.
I was just like, this is such a golden opportunity that they missed. It's like, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Why are we fucking around? We know what everybody wants. Why are we not doing it?
We know what the heart wants. Okay.
We know what the fan base wants. Let's get
that. That's right.
So they find out that the language was, Rigelian. So yeah. And then they cut really quickly to them so it cuts back to Malcolm meeting his old friend. Oh, because his old friend was I skipped over here real quick. There's the follow-up after the mind meld. And then it's funny too, because like they're sitting there going, yeah, their flight plan's supposed to go here. And he's like, well, their trajectory says that they're not even going anywhere near there. And I was, you know, like Archer's like, I sense a conspiracy going on here. But what's funny is that the scene was kind of like, whatever. Like, is kind of like obvious, but at the same time, the music was so tense. Like, it was just like,
yeah,
it was like kind of like building. So I was like, when the scene isn't that tense, I mean, unless you're counting when Archer goes ahead and tells everybody to, you know, shore leave's canceled. So he's that guy.
Which, you know, typical.
Typical, right. It would be funny, too, because, you know, there's...
You see someone in the back. God,
fucking awesome. You see, like, these papers go up in the middle of nowhere, just like...
Sick of this shit. Oh.
And, you know, there's that one guy just about to get lucky and then gets cock-blocked by Archer. And we're like...
As they're walking by and they're passing people, there's one dude talking to his homie. Bro, I've been on here since the motherfucking Expanse, dog. Like, do I get a break? I seen shit floating around. T'Pol was tripping. Bro, she had an addiction. I don't know what the fuck was happening, bro.
Dude, she was hooked to crack. It was like, what the fuck? Trip died? Die. Trip died like twice on this trip? Like, what the fuck?
Pregnant? Yeah, I need a break. Something about pebbles and shit. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
I've been stuck in this room since we took that Klingon back to the Klingon homeworld.
I just work in a motherfucking storage bay. Ain't nothing. I don't know windows and shit.
I didn't even know we came back to Earth 3 times.
No one told me shit. I just go to my room and into the fucking little room. I don't know. Mama!
Oh, shit. And so...
And then later in the episode, you just see someone holding a sign, free my homie in the storage bay. Like, we've seen too much Lower Decks at this point.
I know.
Like, free my homie, bro. Oh, my God. So,
Malcolm goes to back to San Francisco to meet his old friend. And basically, we just get that he needs to do this secret mission, but of course, we don't know
the secret mission in outer space.
Yeah, secret mission in outer space, you know. And he gives a mission.
Well, and then they do give a little thing though, where they say he does say sector.
Yeah,
but he doesn't say what.
Oh no, section, remember. Section. Yeah,
section.
Goes, right. I didn't know I was in your
real
section.
Star Trek. Oh jeez. Yeah.
And I was like, going, oh, section 31.
Yeah, man.
Like, yeah. So that was kind of cool. That was a total like OG moment where you're just like going, oh, section? Nice. Yeah. Okay, we got section 31 here. Which kind of seems weird that Malcolm would be part of section 31, but would explain the way his militant attitude was in the very beginning. Remember how it was kind of like cut off of everybody in like the first season? And nobody knew anything about him. And it's like, you don't know what I've been through.
You don't know what I've seen.
The shit I've seen is real.
Oh, shit.
So we're back to the... So early on in Act 1, Phlox was kidnapped. Now we finally see him in the beginning of Act 2.
He has some pretty good scenes, but yeah. For a story that's supposed to center around him, we don't see him much.
And you know, I was like, Phlox gets no respect. Like, no matter what, he gets no respect. So
he's the Roger Dangerfield of the Noblians, bro. He really is.
Yeah. So they bring him in, and so we see Phlox again. And yo, Uncle Phil in the house?
Yo.
It's funny
Shredder
because...
Shredder out here, bro.
With all that makeup, you still recognize Uncle Phil. Like,
and honestly, one thing I love about this scene, so Uncle Phil, that's just his name.
Yeah, we don't care what his name in the episode. That's what we're calling him in this episode.
He's your typical Klingon. He's rude. Tells Phlox, basically, do what I say or I'm going to kill you. Mm. And then he leaves the room. But what I love is when they put the little extras in, they did a lot of this in Enterprise, where the scientist guy goes, the warrior class doesn't really know how to be polite. You know, and I love when they do that, where they're not all Klingons are assholes. We just see the warrior class every time because that's who's out in space.
It's funny because Enterprise is the only one that kind of differentiated between the different classes, because this happened. Remember when Archer was on Klingon where he was being tried, and that his lawyer talked about the warrior class. Mm-hmm. And the different classes.
I love that fucking little piece of lore. And the thing is it made... Before that, before Enterprise, the Klingon society didn't really make sense if you started to think about it. You're like, how do they have these fucking ships? Right. Who maintains them? You know what I mean? And then you get called a nerd because you're thinking too deep about it. But then Enterprise happens and you now know. You now know that it's a class basis and it makes more sense.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and it was funny because like I saw, oh, Uncle Phil's here. Everything's going to be okay. Everything was not okay.
Because like, Uncle Phil wasn't here.
Yeah.
Shredder was here, bro. Okay?
It was and the cool thing is that, so that Klingon was Shredder and or Uncle Phil. The other Klingon dude is actually another legacy Star Trek actor. He actually plays the Klingon ambassador in almost all the TOS movies. So anytime you see in like Star Trek 3, 4, and then I think 6, he plays the Klingon ambassador there. So it's the same actor, which I thought was kind of cool. So it kind of brought him there. I thought that was a little cool. That's a little nerd in me kind of going, "Hoo!"
Yeah.
And I like the way he's like, you know, "I'm not going to help you. Then you will die."
Then you will die. And then, yeah. And he had a very matter of fact way of speaking.
Yeah.
Which made him scarier.
And I thought it was funny because like in my mind, he's like, "You will die." And he's like, "Well, that didn't go the way I expected." Like he died. Right. But yo, Uncle Phil is tough in this one.
Yeah, he don't play.
And we find out that he was brought, that Phlox was brought to Klingon, this Klingon thing, because there's a virus spreading. And I like Phlox is kind of dismissive of this guy's like, "A virus is spreading, you know, what's your field of science in?" And I'm like, "Dentistry."
I would laugh. I'm a dentist, okay?
It's like, all right. So we'll
see. I read the paper every morning. Though. I know what's happening.
I read Dentist Monthly. I know what's
you just see Phlox like, I'm like, "Shut the fuck up, bro. You don't read shit."
They locate the so we're back to Enterprise. So they locate the freighter, but not the engineer.
Right.
It was the look that Archer has when he has to mention the engineer.
Well, there was a part where he calls the engineer. Did this already happen? Where he called engineering?
Oh yeah, this is it. This is the part.
Oh yeah, so he calls engineering and dude doesn't answer right away. And then he has to call a second time. And dude kind of just like, "What's up?" Kind of that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, Trip would never, bro. And then you start to realize that as busy as Trip was, he ran to that fucking intercom. Because you forget that it's not the other Star Trek. They need to go to the intercom.
What's Trip funny is too the is, man, bro. Is the look on the engineer's face when he heard his name. He just kind of went like, "Ugh." Like you knew he was in the corner with some other dudes getting high. Then they're like, "Engineer," and then like, "Dude, that's you." It's like, "What? No, see, nah, Trip is the engineer, man. It's not me."
It's not me, man.
Then when they mentioned his name, it's like, "Oh, shit, it is me."
Fuck.
So then when he's like, "You know, we need a little more on that," he's like, I giving you all I got. He goes, "Well, Trip was able to give me more." It's like, now we're going to do this now. So Trip on Columbia is, well, when I was on the Enterprise, now on Enterprise, Archer's going to be like, "Well, when Trip was doing this, you know."
Right.
I mean, you know, obviously this guy's no Geordi LaForge because he barely had any speaking lines, but, you know.
And he was never heard from again.
So while we get the tension building on this, we go back to Columbia and Trip is having dinner with the captain. And, you know, she already lets him know that he's made an impression because two people want to fucking bail on it.
Yeah.
On it. It's funny too because she's like, "Whoa, you're working really hard." It's like, "Yeah, I'm trying to work my angst out on, you know, all this shit that I had built up from Enterprise. I'm trying to, you know, get it out there, take it out on the crew." But you see when his, you know, his explanation as to why he left the Enterprise, you know, she saw he was full of shit.
Yeah,
you could totally see that.
I think every single person knows that, but Trip.
Trip's the guy that thinks he's fooling everybody. He's like that. He's like the alcoholic that's like day drunk all the time, but he thinks he's hiding it well.
Poor guy.
Yeah. The next part, I think, is your favorite part. So T'Pol's meditating.
This shit is so funny. Let me say this shit. So T'Pol's meditating as she does. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she
very sexily, by the way.
That's right. the posture is impeccable, really. So it then zooms in. Well, not zooms in, but it goes into like her head. And she's sitting in this white void because, you know, why? She's DePaul. And then just nonchalantly, this dumbass trip comes walking in. And she looks up like, what the fuck
are you doing here?
Bro, I was dying. And she goes, what are you doing here? And he goes, I don't even know where here is. And she says, I was meditating. And he said he was daydreaming or something.
Yeah, because he's like, and what I love in this whole scene is this, he's wandering around looking at this space.
Just looking around, and there's nothing to look at.
This felt very Lower Decks.
It did, really. Yeah, you know, and then she goes, I was meditating. This is where I go in my mind when I'm meditating. And he kind of like raises his eyebrows and goes, think you pick a more interesting place. And she snapped, looked at him so fast. What? And he's like, I'm just being like the beach or something. She felt so fucking judged. Tell me why. These motherfuckers, they're not right next to you. They're light years apart. Okay. We know Vulcans can do this stupid shit. Tell me why he's just being a dick.
And then she's like,
I felt that would be me, bro. I feel like I would do. It's like, I haven't seen you in forever. I might never see you again, but let me let you know how your chosen mind thing is dumb.
And then she's like, please leave. He's like, where am I supposed to go? This is my daydream.
And then
Brian goes in.
Brian. I was just about to say the dog from Family Guy. Taps him on the shoulder and asks if he's okay. Two speaking lines.
Yeah, two speaking lines. Well, at this point.
No, I think it's a total of three. And he fixed the engine. This motherfucker's. He's a main cast at this point.
He's a franchise character now. He's a franchise character now.
I had to pause the show. I was tears. I was laughing. I was like, this is the stupidest I've ever seen. It's just the shock on DePaul's face. Like, it was such a realist. It was so weird because there, sci-fi and fantasy has a way of just this so strange situation that would never happen in real life, but adding so much realism to it, where you're just like, what? So funny. It kind of felt like in the real world, like maybe she's doing a yoga class or something, and he just strolls in, right? And he's like, she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I don't fucking know. I'm just here, bro. Oh, classic trip.
That was a great scene. Yeah. So they are, the Enterprise arrives at the coordinates, and the freighter that had Phlox is destroyed. And this is why people have trust issues with Klingons.
Yeah, for real.
Like, you never do business with the Klingons because they'll never leave you alive long enough. And then
everyone knows it too.
Right.
They're keeping it a secret.
And I got so disappointed in Malcolm because, like, they go, can you analyze the destruction?
Malcolm broke my fucking heart this episode.
And Malcolm looks and it said that it identified the blast patterns, and he was like, no, we can't define about, might have to bring something aboard so I can check it out. I was like, dude,
you fucking bitch.
And I was like,
you know, like, it's a crazy subplot that's going on. It's a subplot because it's not a plot B because it ties into the main plot, but just later on when, like, the look on fucking Archer's face, like, I'm just fucking, I was like, oh my god, you guys are fucking hurting me.
Oh, I know. So we go back to the Klingon compound, and this is where Phlox looks at it and sees that what's infecting these people is a aggressive variation of a certain flu. I don't remember the name of it.
Rigelian flu.
Was it Rigelian?
I think he just said Rigelian flu. Yeah.
And, you know, and he's like, Phlox has this, like, that's it. Like, that's, you know, he's so naive. Like, it's this. And he's like, oh, well, you just asked us. And, you know, I know some people that, you know, can get us the information. And he's like, no need. And he pulls out the thing and is like, And he's all surprised that they stole it. Like, they're fucking Klingons, dude.
Well,
like,
even and before this, I think in one of the other scenes, they made a good point because
they look weak.
Yeah, because Phlox goes, why didn't you just ask us? We would help you. And he wasn't lying. Like, humanity is trying to, like, be friends with everybody. They would have jumped over backward. Now, we also find out some shady shit down the way. But still, even then, fucking humans would have helped. And they go, well, no, we can't ask for help because we look weak. And you start seeing the problems with their society that carry on well into the TNG era, bro. Like, it's like, you guys need to get out your own fucking ass for 2 seconds.
And then, you know, they bring in an infected patient, and he's like, he's infected. He's like, it's airborne. You just exposed us all. And he's like, he's only at stage one. He's only infectious in stage three.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
calm down. Yeah.
Then he's like, and I thought you would bring someone who was dead. And he's like, well, he will be. And then he's like, no. We're not killing this guy. And he's like, he'll be dead anyway. It's like going, no, I'm not going to do it. Then fucking Uncle Phil has enough of this shit. And just fucking waste that fool.
He didn't even look at the two arguing about it. He just pulled his gat out and shot the motherfucker.
Kind of gangster, if you think about it.
Yeah.
He's
dead now, bitch. Go ahead.
It's like,
and Phlox didn't say shit, dude.
It's like Uncle Phil is keeping it real in these streets, man.
Bel Air don't play. Bel Air Crips.
So we go back to Enterprise and Malcolm's talking to his friend, you know, and it's funny too, because he, you know, and it's what I thought was interesting is that, like, you know, he mentions, you know, this whole thing like, oh, well, the, you know, you didn't tell me that the Klingons, you know, would have destroyed them and stuff like that. And he's, you know, it's like, you could just, you know, all these pious bad guys all have, like, you know, when he wasn't told the truth, you know, to keep him in the dark, it, you know, well, that was Malcolm. Malcolm was acting kind of all pious that, like,
yeah,
you know, well, you didn't tell me the whole truth and, you know, keep me in the dark. And it's like, you work for Section 31, dude. They ain't going to tell you shit.
That's need to know.
Yeah.
Strictly.
And you don't need to know. But what was actually interesting was when he was talking to him about feeling bad about keeping this away from Archer, you can see the torture on Malcolm's face. Like, the just, like, you know, he hated it. And then the bad guys all use that same excuse. You can't tell him. He's a Starfleet captain. And it's like, we just heard this, like, in Daedalus, when Archer's fucking lifelong friend couldn't tell him because he's a Starfleet officer.
His obligation is to his ship. Yeah. It's like, bro, can we have a little bit more faith in fucking a little bit more faith of the heart?
Yeah.
In my man Archer, bro?
It was like, oh, Jesus, you guys. It's like, oh, my God. It's like always when you want to do shady shit, it's always like, well, he's a Starfleet captain.
Just the silly ass justifications and shit.
He's going to say something and then it's going to launch an investigation. And it's like,
well, what's funny is if you're worried that Archer's going to say something, maybe you're doing something wrong, my boy.
Exactly.
As soon as you have to cover something up, that's something I strive to do in my life. I try not to do anything that I wouldn't be able to tell people I'm doing.
So you tell people, I mean, you masturbate all the time?
I'll tell people all the time. What's up?
I'll show them.
Ashamed of that. I'll fucking whip it out right now. What's up? You know what I mean, though? Like, yeah. if you're like, that's kept me out of binds when I was younger. Like, if you see, there was one time when I was like 15 and a dude dropped his wallet, like he left his wallet. And I just for a second, like everybody does, fuck anyone who says they don't, they think, man, I could just take that. And it was like cash hanging out of it. But then I think to myself, would I be able to tell my mother? No. Would I be able to tell my grandmother that I took this? No, I wouldn't. So I said, sir, you forgot your wallet. You know what I mean? Like, just be morally just every once in a while, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm trying to say.
Would I be able to tell my friends that I hid it?
Yes.
Then no.
Yeah, well, that too.
So
unless you took one for the team,
right? It's like, yeah, that then you hang it over their friends like, hey, remember the last time I did that bitch for you?
It's like, hey, I appreciate that you took that ugly one home for us. You didn't you know, like seal the deal. Did you? Nah. It was cold, bro. You know,
she made sandwiches afterwards.
It's like, hey, if you make sandwiches, I might show up. I'm going to be real.
So he leaves the conversation because they're under attack. So now we go into act three, and they're still under attack by a Klingon ship. And then they're attacked by what looks like a Klingon ship, and then I guess Klingons board? Because, you know, these were Klingons that didn't look like Klingons. They look like they have like a membership to like 24-hour fitness. Like, that's,
I'm gonna be honest, they just look like Mexicans, bro. With that coiffed hair, bro. Come on. You know you got a cousin that look like that, Steve.
Oh, no shit. No shit I do. I say, like, I got lines of relatives that look like that.
It isn't even an insult. Mexicans have amazing hair.
And always full. So these Klingons.
Maybe it's Maybelline, motherfuckers, is coming on, bro.
So the Klingons board, and then, and it was funny because the question that I always had in all of these episodes actually happened. One dude actually tried to alert the bridge.
Yeah.
You see him, he sees these people go, and he runs right over to him. Just before he gets it, though, he gets ka-tow. And I thought, I was like,
situations like that are why they have comm badges in the future.
Exactly. But mm-hmm. I was like going, yes, finally somebody sat there and goes, oh shit. You know, maybe it had to be that year in the expanse. Maybe that made them kind of.
I'm fucking with this shit. I don't even know if this is really here.
Maybe this alert that said, like, hey, you know, maybe we should do this in the future, you know? Especially if they arrive in, you know, vital sections of the ship, like engineering or whatever.
Maybe we should let people know they're here.
Yeah. but then Hoshi's on top of it, and she's like, you know, we've been boarded. So he says, send the Makos down there. I'm like, yeah, fuck security, dude. Send the Makos down there.
Better get Mako, bro. About to paint the walls.
So we're not quite sure what those quote unquote Klingons were doing in that section of the ship, but I like how
at this point.
And, I like the, like, they get pinned down by the Makos. And then the fucking Klingon, they call the Klingon ship to help them. And I'm like, what are they going to do? Send more people? No, they fucking fire on the Enterprise and then blow that section of the ship. Because they knew exactly where to hit to cause that explosion to take them down.
Klingons don't give a fuck, okay? they honestly, the Klingons were pretty cool in the other shows. And then Enterprise, they're still cool, but then they're like, these motherfuckers really don't think it out. You know what I mean? They're not long-term planners, really.
Definitely not. And it was funny, too, because I kind of like this shot where one of the Makos was, like, hanging out by the doorway, and then they came out and he took one down. He took, like, this guy looked like young Jason Momoa. Because that's kind of what that Klingon dude kind of reminded me.
He kind of did.
Yeah, you know, with that hair and like with that, I was like going, oh, kind of like a young Jason Momoa in that one. But then he gets taken down too.
Yeah.
So we jump to the Enterprise and Archer's checking, or we jump to sickbay where Archer is checking in on his new patient that they have on the bed. And I don't know, was it me or do Klingons sound weird? When they don't have all that makeup, like these,
yeah,
Klingons,
it sounded wrong.
Yeah, it just, I mean, because
he speaks full Klingon.
You were gonna say fake, weren't you?
Yeah, I did. I was. Like, he's speaking full Klingon, and I go, when he fucking download Duolingo? Fuck out of here, bro.
Downloaded ass Klingon. He downloaded Google Translate.
Yeah, that's how you know you're a Star Trek nerd. When someone who isn't Klingon speaks Klingon, you're like, oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah, you're like, what the hell is that?
When in all actuality, none of these motherfuckers is Klingon.
And then they discover on the bio bed that while he looks human, his insides is all Klingon. So that leads to a whole what kind of moment.
Dun, 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 dun.
So now we have, now we're back on the bridge and we have a team meeting, and they find out that the warp is down and that the Rigelian info on the, that they retrieved was wiped. So it's funny because like Archer's like, Archer really doesn't like the new engineer because he goes tells Malcolm to, or not Malcolm, Mayweather, go down to engineering and see if you can help him along. It's like,
help him. And he's telling Travis.
Yeah, you know,
Travis is not an engineer.
It's like,
at all.
And it's just like, but it's like that, like Archer's kind of like, go see if you can give him a hand. You know, it's, yeah, like, yeah. It's like, we're stuck with this dude.
It's fucking sped in the fucking bag.
And Malcolm is getting deeper and deeper into this lying bullshit. Especially when they're like,
see what that happened was.
Because it's like, you know, when he's, they're like, yeah, the information's gone. And he's like, well, they could have had a safe word. Like, he just comes up with like all these little things. And then, you know, then he tells, then Archer tells T'Pol and Hoshi, you know, it's like, you know, work together and see if you can, you know, figure out what happened here. And it's funny because like the way the scene felt very soap opera-y. Like, we should have had some, like,
I noticed that too.
We should have had some like soap opera suspense music and then like Malcolm clutching his fist like behind all of them.
T'Pol
like
Paul should have slapped somebody.
Yeah. And then somebody comes out from like a telenovela.
Yeah. Da, 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 not a Spanish guitar.
You see Archer look and goes, Maria.
Maria.
So now we're back to the Klingon compound. And Phlox, and in this thing, Phlox Stardust notices something familiar in the virus. And before he almost gets eaten by the Targ again.
An old friend. No, I'm just kidding.
And,
yeah, the Targ sniffing at his feet.
He's like going, no, get away from me. It's like, you, feeding time. You already had your feeding. It's like, damn.
Targs don't play wrong.
Yeah. Well, that was his first patient, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The dude, the Klingon dude.
Yeah.
So they sewed him up or whatever. That was heartwarming.
That was. It was like going, oh, you like them, but you could kill Klingons at no problem. Mm. But he finds something in the virus, and it's augment DNA.
Human. Human. Augment DNA.
Augment DNA. And it's what. And what was funny was the when. So this all ties back to that augment storyline. And I kind of like that it was a slight follow-up to that. Like, we found out what happened after the Klingon ship was destroyed, that they recovered some of the embryos. And then we find out that they started to try to make their own because of, like, two humans got on board a Klingon ship and killed everybody on there. We couldn't let the enemy have that. And then I was like, damn, fucking Uncle Phil is straight up about that life, dude.
Yeah, he don't play, bro. These motherfuckers out here testing.
So we find,
and they fail it.
Yeah, exactly. So we find out that the that what they did was that they were, so how it works out and why they got flocked because of that flu.
See what had happened.
Yeah, it basically was, see what had happened was, is the way our bank account works.
For real.
Is that we were trying to make Klingon augments, but the problem is that those human augments were, DNA was actually pretty powerful. That's why the Klingons were losing their ridges. And they were, and one
basically what it sounded like, it sounded like one of the most Klingon mistakes where they go, we started using human augment to help, and we didn't realize it was going to be stronger than good old Klingon DNA.
Because Klingon DNA is tough.
Yeah. Klingon is strong. It's what plants crave. Get the fuck out of here, dumbasses.
And so one of them had that Rigelian flu.
Yeah.
So the DNA got into that and started making it a powerful one. So basically, it's their own, you know, eugenics test.
It's almost like, for some reason, the first thing that came to mind when I heard that was the fly. It's like they were doing an experiment, but there was something else in there and that they didn't account for.
Yeah. And then
the Fly was a terrifying movie when I was a kid, by the way.
Yeah. And then Jeff Goldblum becomes part of a part fly. It's like crazy. So Hoshi, and so we go back to the Enterprise, and Hoshi's working with T'Pol on trying to recover some of that information. But Hoshi's having some freaky dream. She's kind of getting some of that hot T'Pol vibe. Ooh. In that one. I like how.
Yeah, so they're all these three idiots are all connected now because they keep fucking mind melding. which I think is funny. And she's like, yeah, I had a dream last night. It had, first of all, she knows, she has to know that they had a romantic thing going on.
Well, she asked, like, has you ever had any effects after the mind melt?
Right.
And she's like, well, it's been known that sometimes they have shared experiences or whatever. And yeah, and she's like, so have you ever seen Trip naked? Because that was a little weird.
He's like, I had kind of a romantic dream.
And I've never Trip. I've never dreamt about Trip before.
First of all, that's a lie.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
My man Trip out here, bro. Stop it.
No, she was all about Phlox and Mayweather.
Whoa. I mean, Mayweather, I get, but Phlox is strange.
She has a weird relationship with him, you know? It's like,
I mean, they're friends, man. Yeah, can they be friends?
I don't know. No.
Well, not in the early 2000s.
No, you want to fuck them too.
Phlox out here fucking all the bitches.
Well, she's curious because he has so many wives. She's like, what has he got going on?
Yeah, there? He must be slanging, you know? He's selling meat and business is good. You understand? But yeah, she said that. And then fucking DePaul's like, that's peculiar. Like a little, like, okay.
She got way too concerned about that dream. And then she's like,
you acting all hot and heavy now. But when my man Trip was trying to talk to you, you was real cold about it. Oh, shut the fuck up.
What was hilarious?
It's Hoshi's time.
What was hilarious is the way Hoshi was talking about the dream she had. T'Pol had that look of like, that look you get when you have when someone else is looking through your phone, like you don't know if you got everything.
Like, don't touch my shit. Like, I wanted her to like lean in real close to T'Pol. I was fucking the shit out of him. You were standing there watching.
He was doing things to me, and was it weird that you were watching it? Kind of made it hotter.
I can't meditate ever in this fucking shit. It's ridiculous.
Fuck this place. I hate this shit.
Never let me have nothing.
Captain Archer, I'm going to go out on a shuttle pod. Why? I need to meditate. I can't meditate in here.
I need to transfer as well to the Columbia. No, fuck the Columbia. I need to transfer somebody else.
I hope the Columbia runs into a comet's tail and burns in hell.
Sick of these bitches. The whole time she's freaking out. Oh, she's just in the back smiling like a catty bitch.
She's just eating some popcorn as she's for real. There.
No, she's eating sunflower seeds. She got the same seeds that T'Pol was eating. She ate them. So not only was she being disrespectful, now she's eating her snacks, bro.
You know what would have been funny? Is she's like, yeah, I had a dream about Trip. And it was this weird, like, blank white place. It looked kind of like shitty, like she starts going in on like yeah,
like it looked like something an unimaginative fuckwad would make up, you know, like I don't know, it's just strange.
It's like somebody that just like dull and has no personality would come up with, no imagination or creativity at all.
Like a real fucking asshole, you know? And it makes it worse when she says asshole, because that's like a common, I don't know. Like, it feels like it's worse. Like, you couldn't come up with a cool, it's no, just an asshole. She's just an asshole, you know?
Oh, man. So, Hoshi and T'Pol find something, and so they inform Archer what they found. And what they found was sabotage.
Dun, dun, dun.
So
but
yeah.
Who finds it though? It's the new engineer.
What?
We're talking about the computer virus, right?
No. This is the when they found out that the thing was erased. Remember they said that?
Oh yeah. My bad.
And they said that this that it was erased by a tool that they use, and it was located in a locker, and the last person to get it was Reed. Mm-hmm. And then like we cut to moments later where Archer's confronting Malcolm about it, about the wipe, and he, you know, Archer gave him a chance and
gave him multiple chances.
And Malcolm just straight up lied to his face.
And he was being kind of a bitch about it, because like I get why he was doing it, but he wasn't just saying, he should have started with, I can't tell you anything. Yeah. But he was like, I don't know what the fuck you talking about. That's crazy, right?
That's cray-cray.
Disrespectful, bro.
It's like, I don't know how that happened. That's cray-cray.
Like, that's crazy, bro.
That's crazy. I mean,
maybe T'Pol fucked up, you know, like, I don't know.
Have you ever, and by the way, Captain, have you ever had a dream about Trip?
Everyone's dreaming about Trip. And Captain goes, that's not what we're talking about. Actually, yes. Good night.
And when he, that the sound of Archer's voice wasn't anger. It was just disappointment, which is
betrayal. He felt betrayed.
When he grabbed him, he pulled him close and he's like, I wasn't expecting this from you.
I was like, ah. Oh.
Yeah, I was like, ah. Oh.
He was hurt, bro.
Yeah, and then Malcolm pleads the fifth.
He should have got an Oscar for
him. And it's funny because he pleads the fifth, you know.
I like, plead the fifth.
I plead the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth.
There is a right. It's called the Fifth Amendment. One of the greatest skits of all time. Oh, the fifth. How? The fifth.
So he places Malcolm in the brig, and so that ends act three. So now we're into the last act, and so Reed's cooling his heels in the brig, and Archer comes back in there, still giving him one more chance.
Yeah,
and then he's like,
he gave him so many chances,
and then he's like, you know, I gave you my word, and it's like Archer's like, bruh, your word don't mean shit right now.
Oh yeah,
like,
because he said, I never thought you would commit treason. He's like, I'm not working with the Klingons.
Yeah. And that got a jump out of him. Like,
when he was real quick to say that. And but he said, well, who are you working for? Then he's like, I mean, you know, whatever. Bro.
I work for myself, Captain.
Yeah. Don't worry about who I'm working for, bro. Okay.
He starts speaking like one of those English dudes from like Snatched. You know, and I'm what? Who are you working for? I'm working for the Germans. So, and then Archer, of course, goes like, you know, you betray everything that uniform stands for. And then when
he kind of gave him that up down look too, like, ugh, like he was gross, bro.
And then when he walked away, and he's like, Captain, and then he's like, I was like, going, Captain, I love you. You know, it was like he really was like. It was like that whole scene was like it transversed between being kind of cool and impactful to kind of being a little cheesy.
Yeah, you almost like while Archer's walking away at slow mo, so you just hear, I can be your hero, baby.
When Archer walks away, Malcolm is pressed up against the glass going, Captain, I love you.
Hands slowly dragging down the glass. Right. Why is the glass so steamy? What's going on?
That lone tear rolling down his cheek, you know.
Right. I will stand by you forever.
So now we're back to the Klingon compound. And
you can't. No, I'm sorry.
My breath away. So
I told someone a long time ago, the secret to singing like Enrique Iglesias is the way you start your sentences. So like when you say, people always go, I can be, it's like, no, you have to go, I can be. He always like, it's like he's like frog croaking it out, you know.
And then at every like other line you have to get breathy.
Yeah, really breathy.
Breath away.
I was like, that's the type of singer that he's just born to make women wet.
Yeah.
The way he sings. And God bless him.
Like when he sings, the boom you hear is the panties all dropping at the same time.
God bless him. He deserves it, you know?
And boxers in some instances. Hey. You know? Which props to him, you know?
Yeah, we don't judge.
Phlox learns that there was a planet of people that are infected and that the Klingons have eradicated that planet of all the infectious people. I was like, damn, they really just, you know, they're efficient is what they can, you know. The scientist Klingon says that they could, you know, if they can stabilize the human portion, they'll be able to live. And that, you know, and then Phlox is
like, make super Klingons.
Yeah, and then make super Klingons. And you know, Phlox is like, it'll take, you know, I got to do this and then we got trials. It's going to take a couple of weeks. But I like how he's like, you know, you might as well have gotten, you know, Dr. Soong if this is what you could do. It's like, well, we would have, but he was heavily guarded. I was like, nice Soong reference in there. But they find out that the Klingon fleet is heading towards their location and they got like 5 days, you know, a business week to make it work. But what I loved was how boss Phlox was when they threatened him. Like, you know, he's like, I'm not going to do it. He's like, well, then you're going to die. And he's like, well, kill me if you must, but I won't help. And I was like, damn, okay. I was like, okay. He kind of became a boss mode there. It's like, yeah, oh, I'm not going to do it. Fuck it. And he doesn't kill him, but they drag him away somewhere else. So
he doesn't kill him because he needs him.
Yeah. So he's going to probably find other ways to make
the Klingons have discovered that Phlox is a medical Mary Sue and require his knowledge. Because I think he does end up curing the problem.
Yeah, I think eventually he does what they need him to do to stabilize it. That's why.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come into why we have human-looking Klingons in TOS.
Right. Completely logical and the only reason.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Had nothing to do with budget or monetary reasons.
Budget? No. How dare you?
So we're back on the Columbia and they're ready for their warp flight.
Yeah, they are.
So
I don't know why I made that sexual, but
Columbia's bridge sucks. This is where we actually.
Their bridge is so stupid.
I mean, it's the Enterprise bridge, but with those random light
ugly ass pylons. It looks like the beta of the bridge. Like it was the tester.
Yeah. Yeah, because it serves no logistical function. I mean, we see them later on the Enterprise in the finale. You know,
yeah. So they must do something.
Yeah, I don't know what, but it's like, well, we need to block certain areas so we can save money on casting.
They add some panache to the to the bridge, you know.
Yeah, and Peter Griffin is in charge of the warp engines, and he says that he got them online or something like that, and he's like, "All right, good job," and then. And then the Columbia launches. They have that little ugly ass emitter in the front of the deflector dish.
We're basically just Enterprise fanboys at this point. I know, like, right? Columbia can suck a big dick, right?
Oh, bad. It was. I was looking. I was like, "Eek, that doesn't look good.
That looks hideous."
Yeah, it's like we need to make it look different. So you know, it's not Enterprise. It's like you could have done better stuff. Fuck, I would have settled for the fucking Enterprise from the 2009 set, you know, if you're going to go that route. I would have just rather taken that than those fucking pylons or whatever.
Fucking Defiant runs out. The Miranda class. What?
So the Klingon is, so we're back on Enterprise and the Klingon's taken to the brig. And, you know, Malcolm kind of opens up his heart to the Klingon. And I'm sorry, but that Klingon does not sound badass without the makeup.
No.
He just sounds like somebody auditioning to be a Klingon.
He sounds whack. Yeah, he sounds stupid. Like, the only human that can sound cool speaking, there's very few that sound cool speaking Klingon. It's William Riker. Okay. Fucking whatever her damn name is in the Star Trek Beyond. Just because she's super hot and she did a pretty good job speaking Klingon.
You know who also sounded cool singing, speaking Klingon and human? Ash from Discovery. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. He sounded.
Ash from Discovery and Hoshi, because Hoshi sounds cool when she's not speaking, strangely. I don't know. I just love Hoshi.
So he has that little heart to heart. So on the bridge, they're having issues with their warp drive. They're saying their flow regulators are locked. And he's like, well, I was like going, ooh, cool. It's anti-speed. Because they can't slow the Enterprise down because it's going to like blow up or something like that. So they need to go faster. And I was like, oh, cool. It's anti-speed, which means go faster or it'll explode.
Right. It's speed. There's a bomb on the bus.
Yeah, there's a bomb. Yeah, there's a bomb. It's, suddenly that communication from Dennis Hopper kind of was a little off-putting, but I was like, it's like, do we lean in a little too hard into this? But still.
Pop quiz, hot shot. I loved that movie when it came out.
And then suddenly Archer goes, you shoot the hostage.
Oh, shit. I honestly, I would have leaned in. I would have been interested.
Like, suddenly you're like, okay, continue.
There's a bomb on the bus.
Suddenly Malcolm's out of the chair and T'Pol's like, or no, Hoshi's flying the Enterprise.
Wasn't that the first like serious role Keanu Reeves did after Bill and Ted?
Yeah, and he did I think he did Parenthood before that. It was like the first one where he was actually like an adult.
It was weird because I remember when I saw Speed and I whatever he did in between Bill and Ted and Speed I didn't see, and I was like, it was difficult to take him seriously just because I was waiting for him to be like, excellent. And I love Bill and Ted. I told my kids today, and I say it a lot, I never tell them where it's from. I go, like a great man once said, be excellent to each other. Every fucking time. And they just go, okay, Dad. I will not tell them where that's from. Because one day they're going to hear it. And they're going to go, oh,
that's where
Dad
it's from.
Said that.
Well, it's funny. Like you see him on the bus and he does that like awkward walk. And he goes, listen, bad dude.
Stupid, bro. Like, don't you have a historic figure to pick up? What are you doing? Of course, Keanu Reeves is a legend at this point. But back then.
What was funny in this is that Archer has this continuous thing. Like he turns to T'Pol and goes, like, see if you can help out in engineering. Like, it's just this like
it has to be a running gag.
Yeah, because
it has to be.
Because every time he mentions engineering, he has this like, that just annoyed look to kind of like go. So,
well, the guy who took Tripp's place,
he looks like he's 12?
I know, and he didn't have many scenes, but every time you saw him, he didn't look like he gave a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you are now the engineer of the flagship of the fleet.
I'm an engineer because my dad...
right. Went to it this gave guy. That kind of vibe.
Yeah.
My dad got me this job.
I didn't really want this job, but my dad told me I had to take it.
It's almost like someone pulls him aside and goes, hey, man, I don't know if you know this, but... 8 out of 10 times, it's the engineer that keeps this ship from blowing up. I'm gonna need you, really need you to dial it in, okay?
Kind of need you to show up today, okay?
Right. You know, like. I need 100% because right now you're giving 50% vibes, and I'm really scared here, man. You know, every fucking week we're doing some crazy shit. I just need you to get it serious, right?
So we go back to the brig, and Archer gets in the Klingon's face through the glass, of course. You know, telling him that, like, you know, you're going to, you know, we're under, you know, what'd you do to my ship? And, you know, this ship's going to blow up with you in it. And of course, telling that to a Klingon is like, you know, saying,
no
like,
one cares.
Like, no one gives a shit.
He's like, good.
and then that plead from Malcolm was so sad. You need your tactical officer. I can help. I was like,
I can be useful. I said, sit down. You're embarrassing yourself.
It would have been funny if the Klingon turned and go, stop that. You're just embarrassing yourself.
I wanted just the Klingon just to look at him like, bro.
Dude, come on.
Can I have another cell, please? I don't want this dude's bitch to rub off on me.
I'll tell you anything you want as long as you give me another cell. Like, throw me out the airlock for all I care. I just don't want to be next to this guy.
Bro, I would fuck it. Oh, shit.
And so now we're with T'Pol in engineering. And the engineer, the one line that he has in this one, or no, the second line he has in this one is there. He's looking at the giant schematic, and of course, T'Pol has her back to it, and it flickers. And then he goes, like, did you see that? And she's like, you have to be more precise. It's like, bitch, am I looking that way? Like, it's kind of like. And then she turns around, and then, like, the whole screen kind of shows up all, like, Klingon, I guess, letters or words or whatever.
Klingon script.
Klingon script. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little worse than Comic Sans, but, you know.
Right. I think Klingons read up and down.
I think most of them, like them and Vulcans, I think do the same thing. Vulcans read up and down.
Which honestly makes sense when you think about Skrulls. You know? Because if you're like rolling a scroll out, I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
No, I think left to right would be better when you're rolling the scroll. Because if you're going down and you're rolling the scroll down.
Well, that's obviously not what the Chinese thought.
Yeah, well.
Because they had scrolls and wrote up to down.
Yeah, well, Chinese also aren't real people. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So,
So
you can send your emails to Ben Shapiro at. and then we get the last back and forth shot is between the bridge and the turbo lift where the ship is starting to shudder and they're already at maximum warp. And he's like, you need to push it further. And Mayweather's like, I don't want to go faster, dude. Like, I don't know if this is going to work. and when the ship shudders again, like Archer kind of gives this look of like, come on, baby, hold together. Like,
come on, baby.
And then the Enterprise flies off in the distance, and then it's to be continued. Da da da
da da da da da da da.
That's kind of where I felt that music would have been perfect. Like you just had da da da.
I also just found out randomly that Linda Park was in one episode of that Dahmer show.
Oh yeah, I think she said something about that.
Yeah. I don't want to watch the Dahmer show. I told someone that the other day. Like, you going to watch Dahmer? I'm like, no. And I'm like, why not? Like, they almost sounded offended. And I was like, I know the story of Jeffrey Dahmer. Why would I watch? I said, I'm not saying that people shouldn't enjoy things that they enjoy, but I think the glorification of serial killers is a little weird. It's kind of off-putting for me.
Well,
but whatever.
Some people said that the problem with Dahmer is they try to romanticize him a little bit.
Yeah, and I guess the actor was kind of a good looking guy too, because you had a lot of young people on TikTok and shit going. I mean, I feel kind of sorry for him. It's like you're a fucking idiot. He ate people. Like, what's the matter with you?
Yeah, because I was like going,
because they try to make it. He had a troubled childhood.
Yeah, they try to.
No one cares.
They try to humanize him, but I'm like going, you know what? People can just be bad. Some people can just be horrible. Like, you don't need to do that.
Like, hey, man, a lot of people got smacked around when they were a kid.
Yeah.
They didn't all eat cats and shit.
I'm waiting for that romantic comedy with Hitler to come out, you know, because
because
he was misunderstood, you know?
That's what I thought that one movie was with Hitler, where Hitler was a kid's imaginary friend.
Oh, Jojo Rabbit.
And then when I still haven't seen it because I don't like the one who plays Hitler.
Yeah.
The actor / director.
I liked it. I thought
Aletiki or whatever the fuck his name is. I don't like him. He annoys me. And I think he makes movies worse. I mean, it's just my unpopular opinion today. But I thought it was clever. I was like, oh, I get it. Because it's how that kid perceives Hitler to be.
Right. I thought it was a good movie.
Because he's a Hitler youth.
I thought it was a good movie. I liked it.
I need to give it a chance, actually. I have it.
The acting in it is really, really solid. Scarlett Johansson. Sam Rockwell.
I didn't know Sam Rockwell was in it. Now I have to watch it.
Yeah, it's Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell's my hero.
Yeah.
I need to watch Moon again. Anyway, so show no, production notes. Story and motherfucking script. Okay. This episode and the following one, Divergence, attempts to explain the makeup change in Klingons between TOS and Star Trek The Motion Picture, which had been semi-acknowledged as canon since the broadcast of Deep Space Nine's Blood Oath and Trial and Tribulations. You know what's funny? I completely forgot they mentioned it in Deep Space Nine.
What, Section 31?
No, the Klingon thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The head ridges.
Yeah, because they did, Trials and Tribulations, because they go... They looked at the Klingons, and then they looked at Worf, and then they're like, how is it? Because we do not discuss this with outsiders.
Which is obviously they didn't have it all planned out back then, but I forgot that he said that.
Yeah.
So it was cool. It kind of does tie in. Some viewers had criticized the Star Trek Enterprise producers for not depicting Klingons of the era as smooth-headed. sounds weird. As they had been in the original series. Well, some fans simply ignored the Klingon makeup changes in the various series and films. Others had longed for an official explanation. The writers of Enterprise hoped that their take would find a way of satisfying both points of view while simultaneously telling an interesting story. For more from the teleplay writer, Mike Sussman, see Klingon Augment Virus on Memory Alpha. I think they did a great job. I think this was probably the best way to explain it.
Yeah.
It was a cool, fun story, and I think it made sense in the Star Trek universe.
Yeah.
Because it's something the Klingons would do. Like an upper hand? Fuck it. You know?
Now to think that the Augment storyline was pre-planned to work into this is going to be a stretch, because Star Trek is known to not plan that far.
Yeah.
I think it was just a convenient thing.
It conveniently fell together.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. The final draft script of this episode was submitted on December 2nd, 2004. The mention of the Herc is a reference to a Deep Space Nine episode, The Sword of Kaelas, which is one of my favorite Deep Space Nine episodes, where Worf, Jadzia, Dax, and Kor find the Sword of Kaelas among the ruins of the Herc civilization in the Gamma Quadrant. That was a nice little throwback too, the whole Herc reference, which I think is cool. Because if you read the origin story of their creation story, the Klingons, it's so fucking Klingon. Like, even before the Herc come, it's the Klingons didn't like their gods and felt they didn't need them anymore, so they murdered them.
Right.
I'm like, that's metal as fuck, dude. Like, I expect nothing less from the Klingons.
Right.
You know?
Anything less would have been weak.
For real. Affliction features the first appearance of the Rigelians in Star Trek. They like the Tarkalians? Tarkalians, I think. Had been mentioned but not seen in previous series. This episode is the first to bring Section 31, a concept introduced in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine getting all the play today.
Yeah.
Into Enterprise. Although the name Section 31 is never mentioned in this or subsequent Enterprise episodes. Though in the next episode, Diversions, Agent Harris invokes Article 14, Section 31 of the Starfleet Charter to justify his actions. Interviews with the production staff confirms that this is indeed the same organization that was introduced in Deep Space Nine. The shadows, you know?
Mm. Well, one thing I always thought, I thought Section 31 was a really cool idea to insert. Plus, it seemed totally practical.
It made sense. It's just Black Ops.
Yeah. I mean, it's like what every government has. We have Black Ops.
They do the shit that you can't really be public about.
Right.
Because there's always some gray area shit that needs to get done every once in a while, you know? That's all I can say about that, though. I'm just kidding. I'm not that cool. Where the fuck was I? Oh, when asked why he's in the brig, Reed tells Marab that it's a long story. The same phrase Worf used 114 years later to describe the affair in Trials and Tribulations. That's a stretch. But people say it's a long story a lot. You know, I think – I don't know. Captain Hernandez makes her second appearance after home, this time not fucking Archer. also, Commander Collins references the xenophobic attack, which took place in that episode, and Trip mentions the Vulcan fire planes that T'Pol shows him in home. Yeah, there's a lot of callbacks in this episode to various things. Eric Soon is mentioned several times, as are the Augments, which he genetically engineered. I thought that was cool that, like, we tried to get him, but he's too heavily guarded.
Yeah, he's too heavily guarded. I thought that was great.
Too heavily guarded is annoying. Archer mentions Lieutenant Reed's father, Stuart Reed, who was seen in Silent Enemy. It's just the list goes on and on with the references in this episode. The Klingon Augment virus was created as a result of the human Augment DNA modifying the Lavodian flu virus. I was wrong. I thought it was Rigelian.
Yeah, I knew it. It sounded like, I don't think so. But
yeah. In Voyager's episode Tattoo, The doctor programmed himself with a simulated version of the Livonian flu at Kes's request to make him more sympathetic to his patients. I heard Kes and I got upset.
yeah, I heard Kes and I stopped caring.
Yeah, I stopped giving a flying fuck. No disrespect to the now deceased actress. I'm just the character sucked. A reverse image of the Great Lakes was used in one shot of the Enterprise orbiting the Earth. Apparently the same shot used to represent Kritasa in A Night in Sick Bay classic. This is puzzling, as of course the image should not have been reversed. The image also seems to lack any other nearby water features actually present on Earth, such as the St. Lawrence Seaway. They probably used the wrong fucking image.
Probably.
To be honest, they probably had one doctored up for an alien planet and they fucked up. The bridge plan for the Columbia duplicates that of the alternate Enterprise from E2. A Klingon hypospray used in this episode, which was previously a Cardassian and Ferengi hyperspray, an odd alliance, in Deep Space Nine, The Wire, and Enterprise Acquisition, respectively, was sold off on week 4 of the It's a Wrap sale and auction on eBay for $1,026. There's really not medicine in there, people. Mark Woden previously played Worf's son, Alexander, in 2 episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. These are people that were in this episode. Isn't that actor dead or just the character dead?
Worf's son? I don't think he died.
Oh, I'm thinking about the Ferengi kid.
You're thinking of Nog.
Yeah. Brad Greenquist previously played Damas in Voyager's Warlord and Crit in Deep Space Nine's Who Mourns for Morn.
Rivers, such a great episode. I love that episode.
Yeah. Rivers is played by Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane, who also made a brief cameo appearance in The Forgotten, but it was not forgotten, surprisingly. this episode makes the first appearance of Derek Magar as Commander Kelby, who later appears in Bound and Terra Prime. His Mirror Universe counterpart also appears in A Mirror Darkly Part 2, which is a great fucking episode that's coming up soon.
Yeah.
Kate McNeil, who played Commander Collins, previously worked with Scott Bakula on back of the show Quantum Leap, the fucking family reunion. Close-ups of Lieutenant Reed's tactical console display references of 47. What's 47? Am I tripping? I don't know. I don't want to click on it either. The name of Kavak and Marab are not revealed in this episode and are derived from the script. General Kavak's name is also mentioned in the concluded part of this Klingon story arc diversions.
Oh, I guess 47 is just a frequent occurrence that comes up on the computer screens in Trek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Klingon dialogue heard in this episode was translated by Mark Okrand, the author of The Klingon Dictionary, and many other works on the Klingon language. Okrand created the Klingon dialogue for several of the Star Trek feature films. Okrand was consulted by episode writer Mike Sussman, who wanted the characters to speak authentic Klingon. It's funny because the first thing we said was, this dude don't look like, sound like he's speaking real Klingon, and they had the fucking goat writing for the script. This episode features the first named Targ in Star Trek, Bosher, counting neither Toby the Targ, B'Elanna Torres's stuffed toy Targ, nor Piggy, Molly O'Brien's stuffed Targ. The Enterprise reaches a new record top speed in this episode, warp 5.2. Fucking better slow down. You know what I mean? Ever hate when your fucking eye waters and it just burns?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, he better be careful because he might catch those interdimensional spores or whatever those things were if they keep going that long.
The CGI model of Kavat Colony is a slightly modified reuse of the digital model created for Zobral's encampment in the first season episode Desert Crossing. Manny Koto cited this episode as one of the really turned out great. Which it did. Yeah. He's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
Great episode.
Surprised we didn't have a Brega Brenna thing going. Yeah, it was shitty.
It was all right. This episode too, the cliffhanger is very abrupt. So you're like, fuck. Like, you want to know what's going to happen next.
Well, you'll find out next time on Star Trek. Enterprise.
And, you know, the next episode's the next in the fucking thing. Yeah. We're going to talk about Klingons and shit. So, you know.
All right. So, I believe we're going to be off next week.
Yes.
Yes.
For the holiday.
We'll be off next week.
I have
week,
family so. Coming, sir.
Yeah. So, we will be off. So, hopefully, we will see you guys in 2 weeks. So, until then, have a very, very safe and happy holiday.
And, for our American friends.
Yeah, for our American friends. For the rest of you, have a very, very safe and good Thursday.
Yeah. We have to be careful because I've noticed on mine, especially on Reddit, you know, if you say like, oh, yeah, you know, happy Thanksgiving, someone will say, some of us aren't American. It's like, then I'm not fucking talking to you. Like, fuck off. I love all my foreign friends, but don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. Happy Canadian Boxing. I'll say that next Christmas. I'm going to get a calendar with all the holidays.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm just going to start. We're going to make one podcast that just has me saying happy everything. And then I'm going to reference that podcast every time a holiday happens. Just to keep it legal. You know, keep it above board. No problems. Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share the show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under @TheLazyGeeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.